Oh, no. I'm a busy corporate woman on my way to an important meeting. But due to train strikes, I'm now stuck waiting for a replacement bus in this small but very quaint and Christmassy town.
Well, hello there, miss. I see you're a stranger in town, because remarkably, I know every single person here. Do you need directions from this humble train driver onto picket line?
Oh, a handsome stranger with a rustic charm that comes from him doing some sort of vaguely manual job. Despite his stubborn need to take industrial action at a time that is personally inconvenient, I am in love.
I'm also in love, despite a metropolitan lack of consideration for the rights of workers. Let's get engaged.
Yes, and fear not, as big city girl boss, I pay for all the expenses.
Oh, it's no problem, honestly. I'm on 80 grand a year.
What? For driving a train?
Why? What do you do?
I'm FIFA's Deputy Director General for Marketing, Communications and Tournament Experience. Supreme Committee for Delivery and Legacy.
Wow.
Do you fancy a Budweiser? I've got a suitcase full here.
Merry Christmas.
Now, here to walk us through crises in cryptocurrency, it's Alex Keeley!
Hello, my name's Alex Keeley, and I'll be talking to you about cryptocurrency. Don't panic, I'm not here to ask you to invest, and I'm not trying to scam you. Although, to be fair, that is exactly what someone trying to scam you would say. As a side note, it is a fantastic time to get in on the ground floor of my new digital currency, Keel's Coin. Come speak to me about it after the show. Put simply, imagine you put all your money into a bank, only the bank is entirely run by 21-year-olds, and they're all wearing T-shirts of an internet meme that you don't understand, and then you ask if you can withdraw your money from the bank, and then they tell you no because they put all your money into Updog, and you say, what's up, dog? And they say, nothing much, what's the matter with you? And they all laugh together for absolutely ages. And then you realise you've lost your life savings, so you can see the appeal. At the centre of the story this month was FTX, the world's second largest crypto exchange. It seems that they secretly used clients' deposits to make a bunch of investments that went horribly wrong. This led to panicked customers trying to withdraw all of their funds from it at once. FTX had previously been valued at $32 billion, with the wealth of the founder Sam Bankman-Fried crashing 94% from $16 billion to around $1 billion. Yes, you heard me correctly. The man at the centre of this financial scandal is called Sam Bankman-Fried. Bankman-Fried, that's like if the captain of the Titanic was called Jim Horny for Icebergs. As of the 20th of November, court documents show that the various divisions of Bankman-Fried's companies had $1.2 billion in cash, but owed $3.1 billion to its top 50 creditors. To put that into context, Liz Truss was at home reading the papers this week, shaking her head and going, oh, what a mess. The new appointed boss of FTX, John Ray, has said, never in my career have I seen such a complete absence of trustworthy financial information as occurred here. This is not ideal because John Ray was the man tasked with sorting out Enron when it collapsed in 2001 after it was discovered that the energy company's accounting techniques were essentially two parts interpretive dance and one part good old-fashioned lying. Basically, Enron was to fraud what Lionel Messi is to football, and to be fair, also fraud. He's very good at that too. Like, I'm not watching the Qatar World Cup on principle, but at least I can spend my evenings enjoying the sheer flair and creativity expressed by Lionel Messi in his 2008 tax return. Sam Bankman-Fried, or SBF as he's often called, has been followed around for the past 6 months by the author Michael Lewis, the man who exposed the 2008 housing bubble in his book, The Big Short. That's have rung some alarm bells, surely. Like, if Hercule Poirot has been staying at the same country house as you for the last fortnight, your granddad probably didn't die of natural causes. To be fair, Sam Bankman-Fried's confidence that he could get away with this is impressive. Like, I'm not even that confident as a performer. I think the only time I've been that proud of my performing abilities was in GCSE drama when I was asked to an encore. They called it a retake, but I think, you know, it still sort of counts on some level. Like a lot of tech bros, Sam Bankman-Fried being a business maverick basically boils down to a young man who wears a scruffy hoodie instead of a suit. It's like, well, that doesn't make you a genius. It's such a cliche. And also that's so annoying because whenever I do that, it's never Alex is a pioneer in financial technology, but always why have you ruined another funeral? Much has been made of the fact that the outwardly charitable Bankman-Fried ran FTX from his luxury $40 million penthouse in the Bahamas, along with 9 polyamorous roommates. That they were into polyamory, that should have been the clue right there. What's more of a scam than open relationships, right? Yeah, we all sleep with other people and we're all completely fine about it. No one gets jealous. I'm not crying. You're crying. You're crying. If people are surprised that this happened, the fact that FTX was incorporated in notorious low-regulation tax haven, the Bahamas, suggests an element of shadiness. Like, my rule is the warmer your corporate HQ, the more unethical the business. Monaco, the Cayman Islands, hell. The exception that proves the rule, the Isle of Man. Beyond this scandal, cryptocurrency has a larger problem. Its limited uses don't really justify its inflated value. It's a symptom of speculation that took off after 2008, when instead of addressing the root causes of the financial crisis, we just bailed out the banks and stuck interest rates at 0% for over a decade to keep the economy on life support. Any boomers listening might be thinking, bloody Gen Z and millennials, well, my generation would never invest early in an asset that rockets in value despite not increasing in quality just because the supply is constrained, benefiting those who happen to buy it first. Let's just quickly check newspaper headlines when house prices go down 1%.
Brits hit with housing misery.
Is negative equity coming for your kids?
Semi-detached from reality.
Terraces of terror.
I'm not saying we shouldn't have a financial system. It's just it needs effective regulation that spurs proper, productive investment and not destructive speculation. Basically, my relationship with capitalism is a bit like my relationship with death. I'm not a fan, but I think it's sort of inevitable. And my parents are a lot closer to it than I am. And on that note, in the last few minutes since I've been speaking to you, the value of Kiehl's coin has gone up by 350%. Incredible, right? So speak to me after the show or follow me on Twitter at Alex Keeley if you'd like to make an investment in your future. Especially if you're a millennial or younger, what have you got to lose?
The value of Kiehl's coin can go down as well as up. Please consult an independent financial advisor before investing all your money into a brand new currency that you heard about on a comedy show. The Now Show takes no responsibility for any losses incurred as a result of investment in Kiehl's coin.
Thanks very much.
That was Alex Keeley. Right, so now we come to the audience question. And with it being Black Friday this week, and some Qataris now wishing they hadn't ever bid for the World Cup, we thought this was an ideal week to ask a question about buyer's regret. So we've asked the audience, have you ever bought something you later regretted? What did you buy and why did you regret it?
In 2005, I bought an A to Z for my brand new car. The next day, I crashed, and as I watched the car go up in flames, I remembered my poor A to Z sitting on the passenger seat. That's from Jeff. I'd regret buying the car.
Yeah. Have you ever bought something that you'd regretted? Yes, Ronaldo. Bought that you regretted? A new Toyota RAV4 with keyless car entry. Why did you regret it? Because I found that almost everyone could keylessly get into my car. And finally, we have one of the Twitter responses recorded by Steve earlier today from his sick couch at home.
I once bought a cheap thesaurus that was very disappointing. It was really disappointing, the most disappointing. It was a great disappointment.
And now, seeing as it's the World Cup, we have the most international comedian available to us. He's half Welsh, half Spanish, with an Irish mother and half German sister. Ignacio Lopez imagines what some England fans might be missing about the World Cup.
Dad, why are we sitting in the garden freezing our nuts off?
John Terry Jr., my son, it's the World Cup. I remember the World Cups where you could be a proper football fan. None of this nonsense everyone else is worrying about. Pure football magic.
Are we painting St. George's crosses on our faces and bellies again?
Get the paint and your sister Wayne Rooney. I'm going to show you the right way to do football. Buzzing with excitement, this is our night. Watching the game with my mates and my breakfast pint. Calling sick to work, fry up by the TV. That's what football means to me. Another pint, please. Away with the lads. Sing on the bus. The heater's broken. The toilet will not flush. We are gentlemen. We don't make a fuss. 2-0 down. Set fire to the bus. It's all right. I just need a pint to calm my nerves. Overflowing pubs. 10-pound pints. Kicked out of the fan zone. For starting a fight. I peed on a statue. I've lost my phone. One for the road because it's coming home. 6 pints, Mr. Penn, never a red card. Don't they know it's football in Qatar? 8 pints, extra time, check on VAR. They don't know how to do football in Qatar.
Dad, the match is nearly over. Do you think we should call it a day?
John Terry Jr., the fun has only just begun. Threatening the ref and shouting abuse. I'm throwing chairs now. Whether we win or lose, has to leave the pub. I'm banned on Twitter. Setting off a firework from your platter. It's not racist if you've got legitimate economic concerns. 15 pints, everything is a blur. My boss saw me on TikTok, flicking the V. Jumpers for goalpost, disciplinary. 16 pints, laser pen in the eye. Don't they know it's football in Qatar? 17 pints, in jail overnight. They don't know how to do football in Qatar. Son, I got a bit carried away. A 90 the cell has sorted me right out. You're such an idiot, Dad. Is this why you lost your job and you're banned from matches for life? Maybe Bud Zero isn't such a bad idea in Qatari stadiums after all.
Been listening to The Now Show, starring Glenn Moore, Hugh Dennis, Alex Keeley, Athena Cuglenu, Jason Forbes and Roisin Omani. The show was written by the cast and Steve Punks, with additional material from Simon Alcock, Alfie Packham, Vicky Richards and Jade Gebby. The song was written and performed by Ignacio Lopez. The producer was Sasha Boback and it was a BBC Studios production. There will be 6 minutes added on for time wasted.